You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Civic Media studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everyone to another episode of Lean Local, the show where we do what we say. We lean into the local issues here in Greater Green Bay. And we've had some great shows in the past couple of weeks. You know, last week when we talked to the students and the parents and the school board about school safety, you know, and that's a good show to listen to. And you can always go to the Civic Media app or go to Spotify and download the show from past shows. Of course, we had the chamber president on. We had the volunteer center come and talk to us. We talk about what's going on here locally, and that's not to say we're not concerned with what's going on state, federal, internationally. But today we have a very special guest, and I just want to tell you, I want to set the table for how we got this guy in here. And we all know who he is, and we're going to talk to him about a number of issues. But so last week, you guys know I work at the new community shelter here on Mather Street, and it's a homeless shelter. We house 116 people there, and our mission is very simple. It's to get people out of homelessness. That is what we do there, and we don't house people and let them wander the streets all day and then come back and eat and sleep and go wander the streets. It's very intense. We have case management, and we get people out of homelessness. And the other thing we do is we serve a community meal every evening, 5 o'clock, rain, sleet, snow, Christmas, New Year's. We never, ever miss a meal, and we serve about 150 people who are in need of a dinner in the greater Green Bay community. So we've been doing that for 20 years. And I got this call from a congressman. And these are very needy people in terms of people want to see the congressman, right? They represent 725,000 people, and they do a lot in D.C. They got unbelievable responsibilities. So the congressman's assistant called and he said, "Hey, look, we've got an opening Friday night." I'm like, "Friday night? Most people go out for fish or they go to a movie." He goes, "No, we'd like to come and take a tour and serve dinner Friday night at the shelter." I'm like, "Absolutely." So Congressman Tony Weed came with his wife and took a tour and served dinner Friday night at the community shelter. And that's a cool thing for us. We have what we call celebrity servers. And I know these guys don't like to be called celebrities. And the people who come, the 150 people who come and have dinner, really were grateful to see our congressman, who again represents a huge number of people, serving dinner to these people who are in need of a healthy, nutritional meal. And the interaction was really fun to watch. You know, I was just on the sidelines. They were grateful, they were thankful, and they know he's working hard. We all know he's working hard. And plus, he took a tour and met some of the people who are actually living there too. And while he was there, of course, you people who know me, I tackle them and say, "Hey, look, I got this radio show called Lean Local that airs on Sunday mornings. And I'd like you to come on and talk about not only what's going on today in Washington, D.C., but what your future plans are and what's going on." And he agreed to do that. So I'm just really delighted that the congressman is in the house, took the time to not only come to the shelter, which was the biggest thing, but also agreed to come on the show and talk to us for an hour here on Lean Local. So Congressman Tony Weed, welcome. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you, Mayor Schmidt. It's great to be here on Lean Local, and thanks for having us on Friday night. Angela and I really enjoyed it. Great to see the operation. What struck me is the people, no question about it. The residents and of course the amazing leadership team, Chris and everybody. And it was just great to get to know everybody and the great work that you're doing, and looking forward to going back.
Yeah. And homelessness it's got to be everywhere. I mean, it's not just Green Bay. I mean, I'm sure you hear that from the other hundreds of, you know, Congress people that are in D.C. And I'd like to think we're doing it right. I talked to you a little bit about our capital campaign. Terry's going to be coming on the show. We break ground on our new facility in November 13th or 14th. I forgot the date on that. But and once we do that, I want to get her on here to talk about that really is the last necessary step in ending homelessness in Brown County. So, yeah, it's an exciting place to work, and you've been helpful with getting some funding for us. And it takes everybody.
That's exactly right. It does take everybody, and everyone serves a role. And I think Northeast Wisconsin's the greatest place to live in the world. And I didn't travel a lot before I took this job just a year ago, but now seeing other places around the country and around the world, there's nowhere that I'd rather live. And it comes down to the people and seeing that those helping and serving those that are in need, those that are vulnerable in our community. Yeah. But seeing the what I really liked is seeing the caring for people and then helping them get back on their feet,
right.
Get back, into society. And I think ultimately that achievement, feels good. And I think people, they get momentum and you're such a big part of helping them get back on their feet. And that's what I really love the culture. And, again, the people there were just amazing, but it does take everybody. Oh, yeah, it takes a, you know, talk about raising children. It takes a village. I believe in that. I think the people that I surrounded, my wife and I surrounded ourselves with, were a big part of raising our kids because I was busy working or maybe not around as much as we want to be. But it takes a village. And again, seeing the community, and to me, seeing the benevolence of our community, the amount of donations and the people that are, donating time certainly is a huge help.
Yeah.
And the money from those that have been successful in business and whatever else they were doing, and they're giving back and seeing the capital, campaigns that you're doing, and again, it's just a great part of our community.
It is, and I even as you know, I teach at TC, and I teach in the College of Business, and part of it is I teach them how to make money, I teach them profit, but they got to learn philanthropy too. That's part of who we are. It's part of capitalism. Everybody thinks capitalism is money, money, money. It's not. It's giving back, and they'll sleep better. They'll attract better employees if they do practice philanthropy, and they know that. And matter of fact, some of them came and served last week, and some of them are coming to serve this Sunday because we have an opening, and it's good for them, and they really like it. They're like, wow, I didn't know this was here. And, of course, they're young. These kids are 19, 20, 21, but we got to start them at a young age. And
I think it is amazing, though, that you came out of the business sector, and then, of course, you served in government and as a mayor. But to have you then going teaching kids that are interested in business is exactly what those are the teachers that kids you've been through it.
Yeah.
You've been through many successes. You've been through some failures, just like everybody.
Right.
That takes a chance. That's an entrepreneur, but they can see your journey and learn from you. And then you can expose them. To things that you went through and then of course, charitable giving and giving back to the community is a huge part. The more successful we are in our community and our employers and in the manufacturing and agriculture in this community, the more benevolent people are. And of course we can help those in need. So thanks for doing what you do.
And I love it.
In my job, I say that to people all the time, those involved in local politics, those, just living in our communities are really, that's where the magic is. It's local.
It is.
So I love Lean Local, I think. But I see that as I travel around all of our 11 counties, just that the local impacts, the people is what really does drive the great communities.
And there's so many good ones in here. I mean, I could do this show every day, but that's up to Civic Media. They give me one show a week, which is great. Hey, so you're not unemployed, but you are in the middle of a government shutdown right now. And, this isn't the first government shutdown we've had. We've had many, many of them. And this one, let me tell you what my perspective, and I'm just, one person, but they seem to play this one up a little bit more on the media. And maybe it's just, I don't know why. I felt that, but we've had, I was kind of going through these, actually since 95, we've had, 20, maybe not 20, but 19, 18, 19, quite a few government shutdowns, and some of them have been a day or two. Some of them have been a little bit 8 days, 10 days, but it's all this stuff, it's inevitable. Midnight tonight, the government's going to shut down. And it seemed to be played up, like I said, a little bit like Y2K, and my wife was like, Jim, the government's going to shut down at midnight. And I'm like, so? I didn't want to be cavalier about it, but I'm like, the sun's going to come up tomorrow. The internet's going to work. Our kids are going to be fine. And it's been 2 weeks. Now, we we taped the show a little bit earlier than it airs, but I got to be honest with you, Congressman. I haven't felt a lot of pain just yet. You know, I feel bad that the government is shut down because I know there's some people furloughed right now. Mm-hmm. Although I don't feel as bad as they're not laid off. They're furloughed. They're going to get their money. So they're kind of on vacation. But, you know, why did we shut down? I know the answer, but I have to ask the question. And then what, you know, where do you see it ending? Is this going to be one of these 30-day things, or are we going to get this thing resolved sooner?
Well, I'd like to start with, obviously, I've never been in politics before. I haven't been in, you know, we ran our own small business here.
And you never shut down.
In Northeast Wisconsin. We would have been broke. We stayed open. A lot of times our business was open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Right.
Right now with House Republicans, there's two branches in the legislative branch. There's the House, which, you know, we're called the House of Representatives, 435 members. And that, which is sometimes called the lower house, where it's a larger group. Then you have the Senate, and that is the upper house. I sometimes call it, and that's 100 members, two per state. And so we are, you know, right now we have the majority. Republicans have the majority of in the House of Representatives. It's not much. It's only a couple. And then in the Senate, Republicans have 53 members in the Senate, and 47 are Democrats. So. Why is there a shutdown? Well, we have a budget we have to put together every year. I mean, we don't have to. It's not like the state of Wisconsin that has to have a budget, but there is a fiscal year end. Let's put it that way. And if you don't have your appropriations process done, and well, then you need to go through what's called a continuing resolution. Now we probably heard CR, continuing resolution, for years and years, to your point, you know, decades. But what we're doing in the House of the Republicans, is we're getting back to regular order. It hasn't been since 1996 that we've actually done single appropriations process or single spending bills. There's 12 spending bills in the appropriation process. But what we're doing right now is getting to that point. We need to get back to regular order. What we've had here in the recent memory is just, you know, every December we have an omnibus bill or a minibus bill and all of this sort of thing. Basically what we're asking is, look.
Were you just, it's kind of a little bit, you know, you guys just vote on everything, and there's bad stuff in there. There's some good stuff, but you just...
That's an omnibus bill.
I know, and both parties are guilty of passing that bill.
Right, and both parties have done continuing resolutions for forever.
Right.
I mean, that's just been a thing. So what we're doing, and Speaker Johnson is doing, and House Republicans, is we want to get back to regular order. So all we did at September 30th is say, hey, look, let's just have a continuing resolution, not increase spending, for 7 weeks, which allows us to get through the budget process in mid-November, and we can actually get back to regular order.
Right.
And of course, there's only one Democrat that voted for in the House, and we have, of course, the Democrats are voting to shut the government down, and they continue to as of last night here on Tuesday.
Okay. All right, I know some other answers. I gotta see a couple questions when we get back on that, because the big hang up this is an immigration thing. This is really a healthcare thing, right? I mean, isn't that really the big issue? And you want to take that thing? You want to take healthcare separate as one of the 12?
They all should be separate.
I agree. Look, I'm not disagreeing.
Well, this
with
really
that.
This isn't. This is just to keep.
We're gonna get back. We'll talk a little bit on break so we can condense this a little bit. But we're gonna be right back. You're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. Very special guest, Congressman Tony Weed.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All right, welcome back, everybody. everybody. You're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. In-house, we have our congressman, Congressman Tony Weed, who is, before we went to break, we're talking about the government shutdown that we're in the midst of right now. Now, we do tape this show a little bit earlier, so you're listening to this on Sunday, and I don't know if the government's going to be reopened by then, but I want to move on to some local issues. But before we do, I just want to kind of capsulize why our congressman feels we are in this shutdown. And there are some issues hanging out there. I think some people are making it into one issue, but you think it's bigger than that? Or why do you think we're in this shutdown?
Well, congressman needs to do its job. So we, as House Republicans in the House, we passed, along with one Democrat, passed a continuing resolution to keep the government open for 7 weeks.
And that's
seven
not
weeks.
Uncommon.
It's not uncommon. 13 times a continuing resolution. Now, some of those increase spending.
Okay,
now, this one does not increase spending. So this, I just thought, being new to, we did it already in March. We did one. Again, we're just getting back to regular order. And now the Senate is voting against it. And so they're keeping the government shut down, wanting to increase spending with this continuing resolution.
But not
resolution.
All, but the Senate, you said that there's, the majority are Republicans, 53. But then you had a couple of Democrats, too, that voted.
Yeah, I think there's three, roughly, I didn't see what happened last night, but three, three Democrats, 52 Republicans. My position is let's just get it open, let's negotiate. And do what's right for the American people to lower costs for their health care. But we have to get the government open first.
All right. And that's where you're at. You've been in the district for a while now because you're not in D.C. But what are you saying to the federal workers in Wisconsin who are not getting paid because of the shutdown? I mean, they are getting paid, though, right? They're going to get paid? Is that a law, or is that just you guys being nice guys?
Well, it depends if you're essential or not. So those, like, for instance, me in Congress, we would continue to get paid. No, I'm not. I asked to not get paid.
Yeah.
I think I'm not going to get paid until everyone else gets paid. But if you're furloughed, you're essentially off, and then you will get paid later.
Okay.
So people are, that can happen. But then there's essential workers. Now, what is essential? Certainly our military. It's essential. TSA. Air traffic controllers, and there's others. And that's where, that's the problem. I mean, we're asking them to go to work, and then they're not getting paid. Now, the administration, the president is, pulling levers to make sure that our military gets paid. Another issue there is women and infants and children, the WIC program, which is a necessity to help those young mothers with, so the president is using, he's using tariff revenue, obviously, to cover that. So there's levers that are being pulled to help some of those people, but it's not okay to have our great people in the air traffic control and TSA workers, for instance, not be getting paid even though they have to go to work. That's why we need the government open.
Okay, but a lot of it is open. I mean, when I look at that essential stuff, like there's when you shut down, I was a little worried. Kyle was in Japan, and we had some friends who were doing some international travel, and I thought, ooh, you don't want to get those guys stuck out there, but. TSA, it seems like, the stuff that's closed doesn't really affect a lot of us day to day. The passport office is open. I'm not saying it's okay to be closed. I'm just saying it's not as, what you guys should do is close all the pizza places. People would have a fit, right? That's the number one fast food is pizza.
Maybe that's the pressure point. that would get everyone to say, let's get it back.
They'd be like, get open this thing up, no pizza. Nah, you'll figure it out, and I have every confidence in you. So let's switch to some local things here. Not really local, but so you had a town hall, a teletown hall, your goals to protect Medicaid for vulnerable population, rooting out waste and fraud, which I think is great because I read these things, and it's unbelievable. Specific reforms that you support to prevent abuse without cutting benefits. And there is waste and fraud. I don't think anybody can deny that. But I want to hear your answer. But before that, I want to preface it with I tell people this all the time. I've been an American Express cardholder for, since 90. If I change my pattern for like a day, they like call me and say, hey, look, what are you doing in... What are you doing this? Or this isn't like you to buy this kind of stuff. Like, why don't we hire some American Express people? It's just, how can you have so much fraud when we can figure it out with credit cards? I mean, I just think the government is, I don't know what I think. I think you guys are like incompetent when it comes to waste and fraud.
I would say government is very bureaucratic. The federal government is the largest employer in the world.
Right.
I would say that we probably have over 10 million people working for the federal government if you include federal contractors. Medicaid is riddled with fraud, waste, right, and abuse. And I mean, and we hear about it. I mean, there's certainly people that aren't citizens that are you know, getting some of the benefits that our taxpayers are paying for. And that is absolutely happening. We reformed that with our recent legislation. The other thing that we added in was we were requiring, you know, that you have to work, you know, 20 hours, if you're able-bodied without a dependent. Now, this does not include the single mother that you know, has a baby or someone with disabilities, you know, none of that. It's the able-bodied. It's the 29-year-old that's still in the basement playing video games. They have to work 20 hours a week or, you know, go to school or volunteer. And that is the reforms. It's the reforms in Medicaid. We're pulling those out. The whole idea here is our country is broke. We spend almost $2 trillion more than we bring in. We need to protect Medicaid. We need to protect those. Everyone agrees we're a very benevolent country, that we were going to continue to protect those that need it on Medicaid. And of course, Medicare and Social Security continue as they are.
How can you argue that?
There's no way. We do that now with EBT. You know, the federal government requires that you have, that you work. If you're able-bodied, right, without a kit.
All right. Hey, we're going to be right back. This is, boys, need some blood pressure medicine here. All right. We're going to be right back. You're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, special guest Tony Weed.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to the second half of Lean Local. This is where we discuss local issues, and we couldn't do that without local sponsors. We have two people who are sponsoring this segment of Lean Local, and they are two of my favorite companies here in Greater Green Bay. One is Nicolet Bank, and I've talked about them many times when I served as mayor. They were a company that really stepped up when it came to things that were going on here locally, you know, building of the city deck, and of course they sponsored the Bay Beach events that we had there, but just a lot of things, the new community shelter, helping out with the homeless, so many events we have here. And that was just really the community side of them, and that is a bank that is really a community-minded bank, but from a bank that helps you out as a person, they're great. I mean, they're great with home loans, with business loans, auto loans, and they have a whole division that will help you with your investments and personal finances as well. So, you know, there's a bank that started with two just strong, strong leaders, Bob Atwell and Mike Daniels, back in 2001, 2002. Now they have 57 branches and great employees that not only are great bankers, but they also serve on many, many communities, many committees here in Greater Green Bay. And, you know, their core values, which they brag about, and they should, because they are their core values, to be real, be responsive, be personal, be memorable, and be entrepreneurial. And that's who you want to do business with when you're choosing a bank or really any business. So just a shout out to Nicolet Bank and thank them for sponsoring us. And the other company that's been very good to Civic Media and Lean Local is Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. That has been one of my favorite companies long before I joined Civic Media. My house is old. It's 115 years old. I live in Astor Park, and all our windows are Pella, and so are our doors, and not the cheapest place. We got, you know, you got to do two a year, three a year, you know, it takes a while to do that. But they come in with their laptop and just a plethora of different designs. And of course, when you got an older house, they're different than a more modern house, but just the highest quality in their installation and just love what Pella does. And they have these brand ambassadors that come over. It's a 90-minute consultation. It's free. And they'll go through your house. And, you know, utilities are going up again. And you want to keep the heat inside and the air conditioner in there. You really want to have right windows and doors. I mean, that's where your heat loss comes from. And Pella will do it. And they're also going to look great. And you want that curb appeal, too. You know, I think that's important. At least it was for us. And we just love what we've done with Pella. And that's just and no matter what year your house is, like I said, ours is, you know, 1914, but there's other houses that are more modern and any year, any time. And they just built that new place out in De Pere. It's like 70,000 square feet. It's just, they have grown so well. And again, great employees, great customer service. So that's just PellaWI.com to get a hold of them. And of course, Nicolay, I'll give you there. It's NicolayBank.com. So just easy to get online, talk to those guys, make an appointment, or just go down and see them. So two great sponsors sponsoring a great guest here, and that's our Congressman Tony Weed. And when we left before break, we were just talking about some of the issues that he's working on right now. And in Congress, you hear a lot about Medicaid, Medicare, and fraud. And it's sad. There's just a lot of fraud, but it's such a bureaucracy. I mean, and you hear about it. I'm sure you've heard stuff from your neighbors about so-and-so was getting this and that and really never used it, or so-and-so's dead and still getting these crazy things. And I don't know what the answer is. It's tough to make those changes, but you got to start somewhere, right? I mean, you got to, you know, like I said, get some of these American Express people over there to crack down on that fraud. Because, man, those guys, man, if they see a pattern that's not consistent with what they're used to. I remember we were shopping one time in Beverly Hills. Well, not that we can afford that, but they have sales. Well, they have sales down there. And I used free tickets. So they didn't, obviously I didn't buy my airline ticket. I used free tickets to get out there. I was just buying belts and sandals and stuff. And I went to the third place and the guy's like, car's no good. I'm like, what? What do you mean my car's no good? And I called and they're like, look, that's not like you to be in Beverly Hills. And it was great. So just little things like that. And they stop you if they think there's fraud. Mm-hmm. And I think I look at this just millions and millions of dollars. And I'm like, why can't we stop this? But what do I know? Anyway, I'm glad you're working on it.
Well, thanks. And one thing that we've noticed just on the EBT side, called the food stamps, but where there's a lot of fraud where there's retailers. And I'm a former retailer. So, I mean, it's not all, but there's always... unfortunately, there's bad actors, but there's machines they could use, and they're skimming, and you know, we're using really old, antiquated equipment, antiquated cards, and so the fraud is just everywhere. And look, we want to obviously help those that are in need. Those are disabled with issues; they can't work. They need help, and taxpayers are good with that, and so am I. We just got to continue to root out the waste, fraud, and abuse. And if there's opportunities, I think having work requirements for people that are able-bodied, without a dependent, without a kid, you know, I feel they should be working. Again, we've been doing that at the federal level for EBT, but a lot of states waive those work requirements. If you look at Minnesota or Illinois, they often waive them. A lot of people are getting benefits that they should be working at least a little bit.
Right. So you've introduced legislation to expand that in-state TV broadcast access. You've joined the Agricultural Committee. Of the bills you've introduced so far, like, what do you believe will have the biggest impact for Wisconsin, especially in District 8?
Well, I love the GO-PAC-GO Act. There's a lot of counties right now. There's little pockets out by Eau Claire that can't get the Packer game, or surprisingly, even northern Wisconsin. I was happy to work with Senator Baldwin on that in a good bipartisan way. I think that's important to focus on our community. We're spending a lot of time, Senator and I, with Fincantieri and our great shipbuilding.
That's
up in Marinette,
company.
And co-sponsored quite a bit of legislation. I think, you know, I'm just going to continue to be a good steward of the taxpayer dollar. I think that's really important while being, of course, you know, making sure that we take care of those that need it. But we need to make sure that we're not spending like we are. We're continuing to spend way more than we bring in. That's what causes inflation. That's where your dollar doesn't go as far. And inflation to me is the ultimate tax, and it really hurts those that are poor. Those that are without or the middle class, that's who it hurts the most. It doesn't hurt the rich. And that's why we need to get our spending and get our house in order. And that's what we're continuing to do right now in my short time in Congress.
Great. Now, you're on the House Agriculture Committee, right? And you have influence over the foreign policy. So tell me, I don't know a whole lot about that world, but what are the top priorities for the agricultural and rural communities in Northeast Wisconsin? Like what are we going to see out of Congress when it comes to taking steps for supporting small farms? Because I do know some small farms and supply chain reliance, all that kind of stuff. What are you working on there?
I was happy to be on agriculture. You have to run to get on a committee. You have to you get elected into Congress, and then you have to start your election back over and run to get on a committee that you feel fits, you know, where you can add the most value. And in Northeast Wisconsin, we're the fourth largest congressional district in the country for dairy production. And so awesome. We make cheese. Everything, you know, our dairy goes into making cheese. We make great mozzarella, a lot of specialty cheeses. And, you know, we're the second largest state for dairy. And so for me, being on agriculture is a no-brainer. Learning a lot. Now, 80% of our funding is for EBT and food stamps that we spend in our agriculture committee. I didn't know that. So 20% of it is for farms. And I think we need to get the farm back in the agriculture committee. What we did through this latest reconciliation, the big, beautiful bill, was about 80% roughly of the farm bill. A farm bill hadn't been done in quite some time. That gives certainty to farmers. It allows for them to know, you know, what the future is going to be for the next 5-6 years. We're going to follow up, but we should be following up that right now and actually finalizing the farm bill. Again, that's what farmers need. Ultimately, yeah. So that they, you know, they can be successful. But they're a very big part of our community here, and the companies that feed into the agriculture business.
Oh, across the street, right, Schreiber.
Right, Schreiber Foods,
and $7 billion company.
It's a great company, employee owned, and there's a lot of other great producers that, you know, make the cheese and throughout the district. So they're just continuing to support them.
Great.
But really what I need to do, I was in a combine yesterday.
Yeah, you totally, your assistant told me you were going to be doing that.
But I think it's important to just sit, you know, I'm in a combine for, you know, an hour and a half with a great great farmer, small business, and just spending time and just, he can download. Tell me exactly what's going on. What are you seeing on the ground? How can I be helpful? And for me, that's what's most important, is going right to the people and finding out how we can be helpful.
Because they know.
Well, they know. They're small businesses. They're families. They're... Yeah. You know, some of their kids are involved or they're out doing different things. And I think that's where people, I believe in people. I don't believe in really government. I believe in people, and that's who needs to drive the change and drive the decisions. And that's my job as a representative.
And you're much higher up than I ever was, but they're not shy about telling you. You know, that's what I like about going out to talk, like farmers or small business people or restaurant people. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're like, oh, they're impressed. The congressman's here. But they will tell you because you're there. And they're not going to pander to you. They're going to say, hey, look, he's here, and I'm going to tell him.
Good, bad, and ugly. I always say, hey, what keeps you up at night?
Right.
But I would say local, those elected officials, and even anyone that volunteers, locally is really where the magic is. Building our communities from the town, the village, the city, the county level, school boards, being involved, charitable organizations like NAW Community Shelter. I think that's really where the magic is, the people and all of people working together. I'm certainly serving in this role, and it's a temporary role, and it should be temporary. There shouldn't be career politicians. But, you know, everybody serves a role, and my job is to understand. And that's the – I love listening. I think it's – and I just like being around people.
Yeah. Hey, I want to shift gears to the Second Amendment. You introduced that Fire Act. I want to talk about that for a second. To protect the Second Amendment rights – restricting laws, targeting magazine capacity. So tell me, we just had last week or the week before this whole, we didn't really talk guns, but we did talk about school safety, which was the result of a gun that was brought to one of our high schools here in Green Bay. So how do you balance protecting the constitutional rights with concerns about gun violence? Gun violence is a thing. It's more and more and more, and people are scared. And this poor kid that we had in here from Preble is afraid to go to school. You can't learn if you got this thing in the back of your mind that you're not going to have a safe day, which really made me feel really bad. But how do you support federal measures for safe storage, background checks? Are you on board with the mental screening?
I believe in, you know, I think the Second Amendment is, it cannot be infringed upon. And we have the right to bear arms. That's something that our founding fathers felt very strongly with, Second Amendment. And so I think that we have that right, and as law-abiding citizens, you have that right. I also believe in the background checks, and we do. You know, you can't just go buy a gun. You have to go in and have a screening and make sure you know, that you don't have a felony and various other things. So I think that's really important. But what I'm concerned with is violence. And violence is violence. I don't think that we've have, you know, more guns necessarily, you know, in the country. When I was in eighth grade, I used to bring my gun to school.
I know.
And we would go shoot trap and, you know, after school, and I'd, you know, bring the shotgun and bring it, put it right in the principal's office.
I hear that all the time.
So something has drastically changed in our society. And certainly we have a mental health issue. There's a lot that needs to happen to change that. And we need to provide more safety in our schools. And that's a very, very delicate subject, something I'm working with superintendents and other schools to really figure out what is we can do to make sure
all
people
right.
are safe.
Can you stick around? I got just a couple more questions, then we'll wrap it up. All right, thanks a lot. We're here with Congressman Tony Weed. We'll be right back. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, welcome back, everyone. We are wrapping this up with our Congressman Tony Weed. Just a couple questions. The government is going to open sooner or later, probably sooner. And when you get back, what will happen? What do you want to see happen? It's October, in the next couple months. What do you see happening? I mean, you have this, I don't know, internal strife, but will you guys, once you open up, are you guys going to get along and say, look, let's just get something done here?
Well, I happen to be one, you know, like Speaker Johnson said to me the first day I got there, he said, get to know those on the Democrat side.
Right.
You know, if they have children, get to know their names. You won't hate them. And I tend to get along with everybody. I think there's a human aspect to it. Doesn't mean we agree maybe on anything. I work out with Democrats and we can kind of kid around and make fun of each other's policies, but you treat each other well.
Right.
But what my priorities are in transportation, getting a highway bill done, and agriculture, finalizing the farm bill and making sure there's certainty there. We need to go through the appropriations process so we have a budget, get back to regular order. These are all the things that we need to be doing right now. And that's why we need to be there and working. And that's why I voted yes to keep the government open. And, yeah. and that's what we need to be doing right now.
Right.
Meanwhile, I'm in district. I'm touring the district, meeting with people, farmers, schools, the stakeholders here. And that's what I'll continue to do.
And yeah, and again, thanks for Friday night stopping at the shelter and with you and your wife and serving.
It was a great date night. It actually was. We had so much. Well, it was very meaningful.
Well, we're going to go to, and I think you speak of that date night, but there's people who call and it's something to do, but it's a nice thing to do too. I mean, you feel good about it. So we're going to be online.
There's nothing
in 2 weeks.
You can do.
Right. I mean, and in 2 weeks, we're going to be online. People can just go and say, look, there's an opportunity to serve a meal. And that would be fun for two couples to do. We need four people to do it.
Well, and when our kids come back, my wife's already got it. You know,
We did that all the time when my kids were younger. But I very quick story on this. But my one daughter dated and married this guy from a different country, pretty wealthy family, and I said, look, we serve a meal there at Thanksgiving, and he was in town, and. Well, Daddy's never really, that's not his world. I'm like, well, he's going to come to our world, you know? And he absolutely loved it. Didn't understand that that's the way they did things. And it was just great. So anyway.
And the people that you're serving are so nice.
Aren't they appreciative?
And thankful and appreciative. Yeah. And it was just.
Well, thank you for doing that. Hey, so you've confirmed that you're going to be running again in 2026.
You bet.
So, right, there's constituents out there, and I've been through this, for 16 years. Who may feel a little bit disappointed with certain votes and actions. So how do you stay accountable, benchmarks, constituents who aren't as happy as you'd like them to be?
Well, we're in a constitutional republic, and so that's representative government in 435 congressional districts. So here I have, you know, it takes the majority to elect somebody to represent you. And so there's certainly percentages that didn't vote for me and don't maybe agree with me, maybe on anything. But my job is to, I campaigned, I promised and said I was going to vote this way, and these are my beliefs, and I'm delivering on those promises. And again, that might not be in aligned with certain people, but the majority, I believe, and continue to believe, are in favor of the direction that the country is going. Look, the federal government's messy. The legislative process is messy, but that's what we're going to continue to do. But also, we do a lot of casework here locally. If you have any issues with the IRS or federal agencies, we're closing out cases left and right. We also accumulate data when people write in or call in. And every week, I see exactly what people are calling about and the concerns, and I keep that in mind.
Yeah, just before we're going to wrap, shout out to your local office. I mean, it's great. Kerry, everybody you have there is...
They're amazing. Absolutely the best at customer service, and that's my job, is to make sure we have that, and they deliver and do an amazing job.
Easy to find. I mean, you just go online and just... put in your
absolutely
name.
We have right open there. Cases we help veterans we help it's just every single day we have a very good team.
I've talked to them a number of times and they've been great to work with. All right, so hey, Civic wants me to just talk about what's going on here in Green Bay, and today is Sunday. It's Sunday morning. Rise and shine. Thank you for joining us. And again, if you don't catch this live in the morning, you can sure download this on the Civic Media app or go to any of the streaming services, Spotify, and you can listen to this on your way to work or just at home. And I guess today, football, any football going on today, Con?
Yeah, the Packers play the Cardinals in Arizona at 3:25.
Okay.
Who's going to win, Connor?
I'm thinking the Packers are going to pull it off. Not sure if Kyler Murray's going to play over there, but... I think our defense can do it.
Do you think the Packers are, like, good?
I think they're a good team. I think they just need to work on some stuff. Definitely play calling from Matt LaFleur needs to work a little bit better. And I think the defense needs to step it up in those moments.
So what he's saying is we are going to win the Super Bowl.
I didn't hear that. That is the hope. Did not hear that. Hey, do you know, I got to tell you a quick Cardinal story. Do we have time? We have a minute?
Oh, we're on there, yeah.
Okay, this is a good story. So back in the day, the Packers, to get into the playoffs, Nathan Poole caught a pass that got he played for the Cardinals. And because of his, miracle pass, the Packers beat, the Vikings, and the Packers got into the playoffs. I called the Vikings. I said, look, I called the Cardinals. I said, look, this guy's awesome. I want to bring him up here, give him a key to the city. They flew him up here first class. We had the best time, showed him around Green Bay. It was like he was like the celebrity. It was more popular than, our congressman. It was just this great weekend we had. And that's my special tie. So they're my second favorite team after the Packers is the Cardinals. So I always root for them, but not this weekend. Kyle, anything else going on that's super fun this weekend, this week that's coming up?
Really? Not much, but I did see that the market on military will be open on Thursday for anyone interested.
Got to support them. That's a great market, Military Avenue. And, of course, we got the farmer's market down here in Green Bay that's always going on. So, Congressman, thank you for being here. Enjoy your week here in Green Bay. This is Lean Local. We're here every Sunday at 7:30, Civic Media. And, of course, listen to WGBW all week with some great music. And we just love what Dan's doing with this show. And we will hear you and see you next weekend on Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. Have a good week.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.